in our daily lives, we might not have the opportunity to be exposed to someone who we find inspiring to teach us about a certain topic or way of thinking, but maybe edutainment can give us that opportunity.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. There's a long history of using mass media entertainment to pass on information about social issues, even try to change our behaviour. But does this work? And in what circumstances does it work? Amber Peterman of UNICEF has just published a review of what we know about one aspect of edutainment's power, and that's whether it can reduce violence against women and children. She joins me now from Nairobi. Amber, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Thanks so much, Tim.
I use that word, edutainment. What does edutainment mean? Can you give me examples of what edutainment is?
I think the simple definition, let's say, is just anything combining education plus entertainment. So embedding educational messages in a somewhat entertaining storyline. But I suppose you could give a bit more complex definition. So I think it's really somewhat of a continuum. So on one side, you have maybe development programming, purely educational messages. On the other hand, you have mainstream entertainment. And then somewhere in between, you have edutainment. So it could be more similar to social impact entertainment or social behavior change communication. So there's, I think, a lot of variation in between.
What's the goal of edutainment that separates it from just, well, specifically from just providing information?
The overall goal differs, of course, by the different media type, but be trying to influence audiences around some sort of pro-social issue. This could be a really wide range of issues, from influencing political views, sparking debate around some issue, but really drilling down to try and change behaviors.
How much do we know about the mechanism by which that behavior change would happen?
I think at the basic level, audiences get immersed and even emotionally invested in some storyline, and they absorb, without maybe even realizing it, these messages. Edutainment builds on this role model effect. So we're all influenced by various role models throughout our lives. And the idea here is that characters could act as like a super peer to role model positive behaviors that we then might want to adopt in our lives. In our daily lives, we might not have the opportunity to be exposed to someone who we find inspiring to teach us about a certain topic or way of thinking, but maybe edutainment can give us that opportunity.
There is a long history of edutainment being used across the world over decades. I'm British, and in the UK, one of our favourite radio soap operas was used to teach people about farming and the rural community from the 1950s, 1940s, 50s onwards.
Yeah, yeah.
There are many other examples of it around the world. How much do we know about how well it has worked so far?
You're absolutely right. Edutainment's not new. And you can think of shows like Sesame Street.
Those noises can mean someone is being hurt. Well, there's never a good reason to hurt others.
No.
And when someone really hurts someone else on purpose, that's called violence.
I was actually exposed to edutainment research about 10 years ago. I saw Eliana Laferrera presenting this really super interesting RCT on MTV Sugar, and this was in Nigeria, and they were looking at HIV testing and behaviors.
But she was also HIV positive. She only found out when you were a baby.
Why are you telling me this now, Auntie?
Because Nana, you were born HIV positive.
But I think in terms of the broader literature, there's now pretty good evidence edutainment can shift public health behaviors. So something like promoting family planning, sexual reproductive health. There's also some evidence on promoting gender equality, women's empowerment. I think this role model and social learning theory, the mechanism behind edutainment, was originally developed by Miguel Sabato, who is this Mexican TV producer of telenovelas in the 1970s. And that was the basis for a lot of the modern day edutainment. But of course, the evidence and where it's stronger and weaker also depends on the design of the particular project. So the setting, the target group, you know, all of those nuances.
In this review, you have investigated the potential of edutainment to reduce violence. What sort of violent behavior are you considering? And can you give me some idea about how big the scale of this problem is?
I've looked at four different broad categories of violence. So the first is violence against women. This could be intimate partner violence, broader family domestic violence, even harassment in public spaces. The second is violence against children. So again, you can think of corporal punishment inside the home or sexual abuse. You can also think of outside the home, like school-based violence or bullying. And then the third and the fourth are early child and forced marriage and female genital mutilation of all different types. And, you know, if you look at the prevalence of, I mean, each of these individual types of violence is massive. So just thinking of intimate partner violence against women, the WHO estimates are 27% of women. For violence against children, 2/3 of children regularly face violent punishment at home. 1/5 or 20% of women, young women aged 20 to 24, were married under the age of 18. So these are just like huge societal issues, and these are all underestimates because we're talking about what people report in surveys, but just huge issues that have long shadows of effects across lifetimes for girls, boys, and women and men.
As you say, Amber, these are huge issues, incredibly important. Why do you think edutainment might be effective for these topics, or why might it reach different groups compared to the other interventions that we're seeing around this at the moment?
I think traditional mass media or information campaigns, we know those haven't really worked.
Yeah.
What has been more effective and where we have quite a bit of evidence is more social behavior change efforts. So, for example, dedicated work and communities to change social norms or working with couples to try and change behaviors. These have been more successful, but I think the issue is around scalability. So a lot of the impact evaluations have been of these really small scale pilots. They require working over time with different communities or couples and high quality implementation. So there's still really questions, can these go to scale? Are they cost effective? And this is, I think, where edutainment comes in, because you can think of really low cost post-production scalability of a lot of different edutainment products. And I think, obviously, with the increases in IT, internet, social media, there's just a lot more opportunity to reach people that couldn't have been reached before.
So, Amber, when you were considering the studies for this review, how many did you find? What type of research do you consider, and what type of research are you not considering here?
This was a review of quantitative studies. So basically, experimental studies, RCTs, quasi-experimental studies, all quantitative in nature and all in low and middle income settings. And these included both published papers as well as working papers. And in total, there were 21 studies in the review and 25 papers. And all except for one were actually published since 2019. So it's really quite a new and emerging area of literature.
And in this research, what outcomes are you considering? Are you thinking about a change in attitudes or a change in behavior?
Both, actually. So looking at both attitudes, so this is sort of defined as personal beliefs, norms, which is what you think others in your social circle think, as well as behaviors. And here I try to include everything. So it's both experience of violence as well as perpetration of violence of these different sorts.
Okay, so we'll have a look at the individual categories of violence in a second. But first of all, what are the results telling us in general about how successful edutainment has been in this area?
The headline results are basically that all 21 studies measured attitudes or norms. And 15 of those studies, so that's 71%, showed edutainment led to shifts towards anti-violence attitudes and norms. And then 11 studies measured behaviors, and 7 of those, so that's 64%, showed edutainment reduced experiences of violence. This is really promising, but these are the headline findings, and often the effectiveness varied across the different study arms, for example, what package of interventions were being studied, what type of media it was, because sometimes studies varied or tried to look at different ways of delivery, and also who was targeted. So in some cases, men would report no impacts, maybe women would report impacts or something like that.
Right.
So you get a lot of diversity once you drill down. And I should mention that 4 of these studies actually found at least one adverse effect, either on attitudes, norms, or behaviors.
Ah.
These studies all suggested that the effects were due to reporting, what we call reporting effects. So either participants were becoming more aware of what constituted violence after viewing or participating in the edutainment, so then reporting increased, or they were becoming more willing to report because of changing attitudes or social desirability effects. And so we're still not sure about whether there are any true adverse effects, and I think that's still an open question in the literature.
I can see how this would be really very difficult to draw firm conclusions from. Let's have a look at this topic by topic. Violence against women, first of all. What are the studies telling us about that?
Of the studies measuring violence against women, and there is actually the most studies in this category, 57% of them showed protective effects on behaviors, and 69% showed changes towards anti-violence attitudes and norms. And maybe just to give a flavor of what some of these studies actually looked like, so there was a study by Catherine Yount and colleagues that evaluated a web-based training intervention, including a serial drama, and young men in Vietnam in universities took part in this training. Mm-hmm. And up to a year after participating, they reported a reduction in perpetrating sexually violent behavior.
You mentioned that some of these studies cover the topic of FGM, which is something that is very difficult to discuss. How successful have these interventions been?
FGM studies were really promising, but there were only 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
3 out of 4 of them found reductions in these adverse attitudes and norms, so norms supporting FGM. And only one evaluation measured behaviors, but it found reductions in FGM. This last study was one I was involved in. It was a study of a Senegalese TV series called C'est la Vie. And after women and their partners participated in these film clubs that we set up, there were reductions in reports of their daughters being cut up to 9 months after the intervention ended. And I would say that the series that we evaluated had quite a dramatic storyline on FGM. So one of the main protagonists took her daughter to get cut, and her daughter ends up dying in the process. So it's quite a memorable and relevant storyline for a lot of the participants.
Wow, yes, absolutely. Well, this links to violence against children. What do we know about edutainment's role in reducing violence against children?
Unfortunately, there was only one study in the review that looked at violence against children, which was surprising to me given the importance of the issue. But this was a radio show in Tanzania, and the intervention was actually not effective at reducing violence against children attitudes or behaviors. And there were some methodological reasons why this could have been the case. So there was low exposure of many of the populations that were taking part in the study. And so this might be a reason, but it's definitely an area we need more evidence.
And the other category that you considered, of course, again, linked to this is child marriage. Do we know that it has an effect on that?
Child marriage the evidence here was quite promising as well. There were 8 studies that looked at child early or forced marriage, and 75% of them showed protective effects on behaviors, and 63% reported decreases in attitudes and norms. And maybe to give an example here, there is a 10-minute video screening of street theater in rural Pakistan. And this was followed by 2 sort of facilitated discussions immediately after the screening, and then 3 months later. And so there were promising and quite large consistent impacts on child marriage. However, this varied by target group because the researchers tried to follow up and see whether or not impacts varied if they targeted men separately, women separately, or both of them together.
And from all of this, tying this together, Amber, what can we learn about the mechanisms and how this is working when it does work?
Yeah, so this is super interesting, I think, part of the research. What I tried to do is to map the different mechanisms that each study found to see which are really coming out as strong behavioral underpinnings of edutainment. So I found 4. The first is an information channel. So edutainment can provide participants with learning and knowledge about violence. They might learn about laws. They might learn about punishments for perpetrators. They might learn about adverse effects of a particular behavior like FGM. Second, there was an individual persuasion channel. And so this goes back to the role model idea that you can be exposed to different role model characters and learn about behaviors you previously didn't know about or were underappreciated. The third channel or mechanism was through a norm diffusion channel. And so this is the idea that participants, they might believe others in their social networks, their communities, their friends, might be simultaneously exposed and also changing their stance on some of these same issues. For example, a radio show could socialize a norm that child marriage should be avoided, and then everyone viewing that could have reduced social pressure to conform or comply with that behavior. And then the last one that came out of the review was a service linkage channel. So basically, it's the idea that these edutainment products could either encourage people to seek services. So this could be survivor services, legal mediation or law enforcement, or even just encourage them to access additional programming or interventions that could then change further behaviors.
Amber, as you say, this is super interesting. Compared to your prior on this, now having looked at the evidence, are you convinced by the potential of edutainment to change norms or change behavior around these issues?
I think this is a super promising area of work and interventions. I think it will become increasingly useful and impactful in the future. And I'm not just saying this because of the rigorous evidence. Of course, we need that, and I'm a researcher. But I think also my experience working with artists and producers over the last years during the time I've been doing the research on their projects, it's just inspiring to see how they work, and definitely not something that is limited to one segment of the population or just in quote unquote development settings. I mean, I myself have been influenced by edutainment, and so I think it's something we can all relate to and see in our own lives.
Yes, and this is by definition interdisciplinary because, as you know from your own experience, you are working not just with policymakers, but you are working with the people who have to deliver this as an entertainment. What do we learn? Well, what have you learned from your experience? And what have we learned from the published research about how to do this well?
There's many things that we can learn from the research, but maybe I'll just mention 3.
Mm-hmm.
The first is really investing in making compelling and memorable characters, right? It's all about the hook. People need to be able to get immersed. They need to be emotionally engaged You know, and so if the storyline is not right, if it doesn't resonate in the particular setting, I mean, you're not going to be successful. The second one, which is related, is to really craft storylines and characters that specifically are engaging men and boys. There's certain types of storylines that will engage men and boys, and violence is a relational issue. And so you can't just be reaching women and girls. You need men and boys to be engaged. You need them to be captivated, to be sharing messages with their social networks. And this is not always an easy thing to do. The third, I think, is thinking about how you can create a ripple effect. So not just having a local effect, but really trying to link edutainment to services, social change movements, or other programming that can then carry the message, carry the storyline beyond the specific movie or radio show that you're thinking of.
These are very important, very urgent problems to solve, but it can be very difficult in policy terms to reach the right number of people at the intensity that you want to do. That could be very expensive. If edutainment works well, is it a cost-effective intervention?
Unfortunately, none of the studies in the review looked at cost-effectiveness with respect to violence. And so a few of them did some costing, but it was in relation to other outcomes. And so I think we have this promise, but we definitely need more evidence about cost-effectiveness. And obviously, this is going to be even more important in the future with lower spending on GBV and the current financial tightening of aid. We really need to think of ways we can go to scale at low cost. This is still an open question. And I think one of the other things that I'd note from the review is that many of the impact evaluations were evaluating small-scale pilots. Mm-hmm. So it's perhaps a best-case scenario in terms of the impacts they found because they were in a small, controlled environment. And we don't yet have a lot of that testing at scale that we need.
Traditionally, we think of these in terms of the telenovelas or radio dramas, or you mentioned Sesame Street that many of us grew up with. That's all in the traditional mass media. A lot of younger people now are getting their information, they're learning their attitudes from social media. Can we use edutainment in that social media environment as well?
Absolutely. And this is already happening. So thinking of social media platforms, even video games, or new types of media like virtual reality. And I guess if you want to think of low-tech settings like graphic novels, which my niece is super into right now. And I think that's important to use all the platforms available. I actually did this review before I joined UNICEF, but now I'm super excited to be working with them because there's a lot of innovation going on in this space.
I'm looking forward to seeing some more of the innovation. It's a fascinating topic, and maybe we'll talk about it again soon, Amber. But thanks for talking about it today.
Thanks so much, Tim.
The article is called Edutainment to Prevent Violence Against Women and Children. And the author, of course, Amber Peterman. It was published in the World Bank Research Observer 2025. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. The best way to make sure you don't miss an episode, follow us. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. Our past episodes, as always, are at voxdev.org, where you will also find articles about the topics we feature. And if you like what you're hearing, please tell someone else about us. Leave us a review as well. Vox Dev Talks is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber and our editor is Andrei Zalgarian. Thanks to Oliver Hanni and Iman Siddiq at Vox Dev.